Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Welcome back to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Shout out to everybody having technical meltdowns during this pandemic. They are extremely fun and not the worst thing that can be happening, really, if you put everything in context and in perspective with the way the world is going right now. So I'm Libby Denkman in for Larry Mantle again on Air Talk. Right now, there is this surge of interest and a huge amount of money flowing into some relatively obscure investment vehicles called SPACs or SPACs, Special Purpose Acquisition Companies. Famous names like Paul Ryan to Ciara are joining SPACs and lending their celebrity to promote them. Yes, Shaquille O'Neal has one. There's a Shaq SPAC, and it's focused on media and technology. And, you know, Shaq was an early Google investor, if you didn't know. So he is no slouch when it comes to investments. So what the heck is a SPAC, and why are they so hot right now? Joining us is Amrith Ramkumar, markets reporter for the Wall Street Journal, who's been following SPACs. You can follow Amrith at Amrith Ramkumar on Twitter. Welcome very much. Thank you very much, that is, to for you coming on Air Talk. And, you know, I didn't even know how to pronounce SPAC when I first started reading it. Can you give us the nuts and bolts of what this investment vehicle really is?
Sure. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here. So the best way to think about a SPAC is that it's another way for a startup or a private company to go public. So typically, a lot of these companies in the past would do a traditional initial public offering, and that's how they would get listed on a stock exchange and access everyday investors. But in a traditional IPO, you have to go through a pretty cumbersome process. You have to disclose like 3 years of financial statements, and it's a pretty rigorous regulatory like hurdle just to get public. But a SPAC is a shell company. So a SPAC goes public, it raises money, like some of the big names you mentioned. And the idea is that basically the SPAC will then combine with the private company. So it's a merger of an existing shell company, the SPAC, and a startup in a private company in most cases. And that means that the regulatory hurdles are few and far between. The private company can make very rosy projections about what its 2025 earnings would be. Whether or not it meets those, that's a different question. But the investment thesis is very powerful. A lot of people look at it as a way to get in early with the next Tesla, the next hot company of the future. So it's really turning Wall Street and Silicon Valley on its head.
And how does it avoid all of the loopholes or hoops to jump through to actually take a company public? I mean, as you said, it's kind of a shortcut for a company that a SPAC merges with to then, you know, go public on the stock exchange. And especially during the COVID-19 pandemic, when things are kind of uncertain, that might be an attractive proposition for many companies. How does it actually sidestep all the steps that normally have to be taken to take a company public?
The main way it does that is because there are different regulations for companies doing a merger. So because a SPAC is a public company, again, it's basically a shell company, but it is listed on an exchange, and it's like everyday investors, anyone can trade shares of SPACs. And so basically because the SPAC is combining with the private company, it's basically kind of a regulatory loophole for startups, because then they're able to, again, make these flashy presentations on social media. They're able to talk up the stock. And again, the deal is basically negotiated behind closed doors, so you're not subjected to some of the volatility we've seen in markets over the past year. So all of those things make it attractive. And yeah, a lot of companies I talk to say it speeds up their growth by several months because they're able to raise a ton of money and access everyday investors who are excited about things like electric vehicles, sports betting, these futuristic themes. We are seeing some of the air kind of come out of what a lot of people think is a bubble. Just in the past week alone, a lot of these hot EV names that have gone public by merging with SPACs are taking a beating. A lot of companies are still worth billions, tens of billions of dollars after doing SPAC mergers. And again, a lot of these companies currently make no money. So we'll see where all of this goes. But it is a very powerful fundraising tool. And I'm always amazed when I talk to individual investors who do a lot of research, they're on social media, they're learning about SPACs, and they again view this as a way to get in early with the hot company of the future, and they're willing to take the gamble and they kind of understand the risks in a lot of cases.
But they don't know what the SPAC is going to eventually buy, right? I mean, they go in and they say, I have faith Alex Rodriguez has this SPAC or Billy Bean has this SPAC, and I will trust them that they will choose the right company to acquire or merge with, and eventually I will make money on this, although they have no idea what direction that's going to go in.
Exactly. You're hitting the nail on the head there. If you're investing in a SPAC early on in the process, you're basically putting your faith in the management team or the celebrity running it to go out and do a good deal. And that's why the SPACs are also called blank check companies, because investors are basically putting their money there. And in this environment with super low interest rates, a lot of people are finding that wager attractive. And it's also important to note that there are different like kind of points in the life cycle of a SPAC. So the point you're describing is at the very beginning, right after the SPAC lists and goes public and is a shell company. But it's also common for rumors about a possible acquisition target to leak into the market. And we saw this most notably recently with this electric vehicle company, Lucid Motors. So Bloomberg News reported in mid-January that Lucid was in talks with a SPAC. And in the next 6 weeks, the shares of that SPAC rose by a factor of six, I think, from something like 11 to 75, even more than six. So it was just an astronomical gain. And then the companies eventually unveiled the deal late February, and then the stock cratered because the value of the SPAC shares were basically so high that the deal valuation when it was revealed was much lower. So you do get weird things like that. But yeah, a lot of people find this attractive still to bet on hot like celebrities you mentioned, and even hot venture capitalists like Chamath Palihapitiya and many others who are finding this attractive.
I mean, I thought the whole point was that the SPAC was going to avoid this like pop that happens sometimes with really hot IPOs, that the SPAC would kind of smooth things over and be more predictable. But what you're saying is there was a similar kind of rumor mill and, you know, something that drove up the price of the shares of the SPAC that happens with IPOs.
Yeah. So the SPAC back pop is the same as the IPO pop once there are any rumors or any inkling about what company it's merging with to take public. And again, that's a way to look at that is basically like rumors of a merger. But in this case, they're much bigger because the SPAC is pretty irrelevant, honestly, until you know what company it's taking public and what the deal valuation is. And these days, you don't even really need to know what the deal valuation is or the financials of the company. Any rumor or any report, again, can really get a stock surging or falling. So yes, it's pretty remarkable. And I think it really encapsulates this market moment we're in, where a lot of investors, individuals, professionals, big, small, they're willing to pour money into this thing. They don't know exactly what it will end up acquiring or where it'll go, but they're willing to take that risk. And it also, again, shows the amount of activity there is on these apps like Robinhood from individual investors. And they trade the regular shares of SPACs. They also trade more complex investments like options and warrants. And the amount of information that's out there about these things really is shocking on social media platforms like Twitter, Reddit, et cetera. So it's a really, really interesting trend. And It's just staggering the amount of activity. I mean, SPACs have raised nearly $70 billion already in 2021. To put that in context, last year was an all-time high by a lot, and that was a little over $80 billion. So there are now hundreds of these shell companies that typically have within 2 years to take companies public. So we're looking at transactions worth several hundred billions of dollars coming in the next several years.
And it's only March. I mean, we're almost at the total investment from all of last year. Amrith Ramakumar with The Wall Street Journal is with me. Also on the line is John Howe, professor of finance at the University of Missouri and author of The Foolish Corner, Avoiding Mind Traps in Personal Financial Decisions. We are talking about these special purpose acquisition companies, SPACs, which are these financial instruments that are so hot right now. I feel like Zoolander saying that because they are like these shell companies that celebrities decide to get affiliated with, and they encourage investors to invest their money, and the investors don't really know what eventually is going to happen with that money because the shell company can choose to merge or acquire another company in the future and avoid all the hoops that are involved with an IPO process. So John Howe, talk to me about risk with these special purpose acquisition companies. As individual investors, we are risking when we buy into the stock market anytime. What about what the early investors and the sponsors of these SPACs are risking, like what a Shaquille O'Neal is doing here? I mean, what's in it for them and what's in it for ordinary shareholders?
That's an excellent question, and this has been a great discussion so far. So when we think about POPs, let's think about the very earliest in the kind of chronology of this. As has already been said, SPACs themselves go public through an IPO, and by far the typical so-called offer price is $10. And for the $10, one gets usually one share and maybe a little bit or maybe even a whole warrant, which is like an option issued by the firm. And we can come back to that if you want. The point is then that IPOs in general receive a little bit of a pop. They tend to be underpriced on average. So if you can get in at the offer price, though, because essentially the individual investor's money is being put in trust, if the SPAC does not consummate a transaction within the typical 18 to 24 months, that's fairly typical, although it can be extended, they can actually get their money back. And if they do have a warrant or part of a warrant, they get to keep that as well. So the risk, if you can get in at the offer price, is for us, you know, retail investors, is actually very small. In fact, arguably not at all. There's no risk there. And then again, consistent with what was being said just a few minutes ago, once it goes public, then that means those shares that were sold at the IPO are trading on, let's say, the stock exchange, and they will respond to news, some of it kind of maybe probabilistic, like a rumor, you know, that may or may not come true. So there is a little bit of a drift up in the days following an IPO, and that drift, if you look at the 2020 data, that drift took, I don't know, weeks, maybe months. It seems more recently that pop is happening right away. But to be in on the ground floor, so to speak, at the offer price involves absolutely or very, very little risk. Now, and then, but consistent with what we're saying, what are they going to do with this money? What are they going to invest in? There is a certain amount of faith in the sponsors. The SPAC is not allowed to identify a specific company, but generally you know by the sponsors what industry they're going to target. They have some expertise there, and that's one of the advantages to the company being acquired, is that they may have some industry expertise in the combined company. So, you know, the risk really comes, is this merger going to take place? And even though they're called acquisition corporations, it is technically a merger. If the merger takes place and it takes place at an attractive price, then you can see, you know, Virgin Galactic really took off after that. There's always the possibility of no deal happening. In which case, though, the money is refunded, mm-hmm. and there's also the possibility of a bad deal. And a bad deal is where they would overpay for a target firm. And that's where the risk comes. And I know I've been talking for quite a bit of time here. But the evidence...
Well, I just want to be clear because, you know, when you say there's no risk, that's for people who are very early in, right? The initial offer price of the shares. And you mentioned warrants and the right to retain, you know, these small pieces of the company, even if you redeem your shares. That's, you know, something that you can get on the ground floor. But is it a risk-free proposition for the general investor?
No, if you don't get in at the offer price, then you're going to have some risk. So let's say in the day that it goes public, it might go, the offer price is 10, it might go to, say, $11. And if you're buying at $11, then you do have risk because there's a chance that that no deal is consummated. And, you know, then you'd get the $10 back. But you know, you paid $11 for it, or you pay $11 for it, and they make a bad acquisition, and the stock price goes down quite a bit. So yeah, the risk. When I say risk free, I just want to emphasize, as you just did, that this is for people who get in at the offer price. But in the secondary market, there is of course risk involved for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Your risk seems to be the evidence is actually pretty clear on this, that once a company has actually done the acquisition, the long-term performance of those companies in fairly large samples has been really bad. So once the acquisition has taken place, you know, if you're a shareholder at that point, over the next year or two, at least on average, the performance of those companies is really quite poor.
So what you want to do is get out, what, right before the acquisition or right as it is acquired, the acquisition takes place?
Well, you know, as we were saying earlier, you know, when the merger is announced, the stock price of the SPAC is going to react. You know, does the market think this is a good deal, that they're acquiring it, the target firm at a reasonable price or even a bargain price, or are they worried that it might they might be overpaying for it? And so the issue here, so the stock price will react at the announcement of the merger and the specific terms of the merger, and by then, in some sense, it's too late. So when you said, you know, get out at the announcement, by the time the announcement's public anyway.
That's it.
That's it, yeah. That's the risk.
John Howe with the University of Missouri, author of The Foolish Corner, Avoiding Mind Traps and Personal Financial Decisions. I want to go finally to Amrith Ramkumar with The Wall Street Journal. You know, I'm hearing that this is a bubble. I'm hearing a lot of kind of interesting, you know, themes coming out of this conversation, including that, you know, you're kind of going on blind faith with a bunch of people who have some expertise, but also might be sports celebrities that are just there to kind of goose the investor interest. I am an index fund girl. I do not do this kind of investing. Give us a takeaway for our general listeners, what they should know about SPACs and the risk reward proposition.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think the biggest takeaway is just that this vehicle for going public can have a lot of pros and cons. If you're an investor trying to get in early, like we've said, that can definitely lead to huge gains, but you have to know what you're doing. You have to understand the SPAC and you have to do your homework. A lot of this stuff is disclosed in very detailed, arcane regulatory filings. You have to kind of learn how to pick through them, pick through press releases, identify what is actually going on, what the rumors are, and where the stock is. So I think that's the biggest takeaway, that this phenomenon will be here, I think, for a while. It will be on the menu as a way for companies to go public. And people think we're in a moment. Like we said earlier, the historical data show that over time, the performance of companies after they merge with SPACs is really bad. But we've never seen this many companies merge with SPACs. The sample size now is so huge. You have names like Virgin Galactic, DraftKings, a lot of EV companies. And yeah, it'll be fascinating to see where this goes. But I think that's the biggest takeaway, is that it's so important to actually take some time, understand how the vehicle works, and think if you want to participate it about really hard about what you're doing.
Amrith Ramkumar, markets reporter for the Wall Street Journal, and he's been following these special purpose acquisition companies, which are just exploding in interest. As he said, the amount of investment so far this year has almost totaled all of last year, and it's only March. So this thing is really big right now, and it's also a confusing proposition for folks who are not familiar with it. So thank you so much for being here to talk about SPACs. I am Libby Denkman, in for Larry Mantle. We are going to be back in just 1 minute.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.